Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Now that Tucker Carlson has been exiled from the Fox News, and nobody, I mean, watches it anymore. Nobody I know watches it. And the games that Fox News is playing, leaking stuff out against Tucker, pretending that it's information that you must know about Tucker, which really is nonsense. They're leaking on him to destroy him. That's not good, but I've got a solution. Our next guest, Dan Proft, he's got the intellectual heft. He reads books, real books, and he reads books that were written centuries ago. Wow, like Thomas Aquinas. And he's our guest on the Chicago Way podcast with Jeff Carlin, executive producer of WGN Radio, and me, John Cass, executive editor of johncassnews.com. And you know where you are? With the media holding another pity party for itself and Fox News crumbling and Dan Proft waiting in the wings and Chicago Tribune and its editorial board not knowing who they hate more, Dan or me? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
I know how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
If Fox News wants to survive, there's probably one person that they should hire to replace Tucker Carlson. They need somebody with intellectual heft, deviousness, a devil-may-care attitude, and a guy who really doesn't give two figs what others think. And that's none other than our guest, Dan Proft, from The Morning Answer to New York and the Fox Studios, where you should be running that show. Dan?
Thank you so much, John. Can't I just do it from Florida like Tucker did?
Yeah, I think so. Well,
do I have to go to New York?
No, I think you could do it from New York, but I'd like you to do it from Florida. And particularly from a fishing boat where you're, casting flies for tarpon. Yeah, this is tarpon.
Well, I mean, let's not make this, idle chatter. You need to get on the blower as my agent at large and start to, working with the Murdoch Consortium.
I won't work with them, but I have, this is just
won't
for
work
you.
With them.
Yeah. Would no, you?
Thank you so I much.
Mean, this isn't going to go well, Dan.
It's yeah, not, well, yeah. I'm not a good agent.
Like I need a new agent at large calling to say, I'm not going to work with you. Hire my guy.
Okay. Yeah. You know who you need as an agent? I can think of none better than your two biggest fans.
Don't say Bruce.
Chicago Tribune, Eric Zorn and.
Yeah.
Greg Pratt. They would be.
Yeah, they've got a lot of heft. Yeah.
Intellectual.
You're going to have to explain to your listeners who they are. Nobody knows who they are, by the way.
We know Greg's a good fundraiser, so you got that going for you.
Yeah.
And they could do like an ethics seminar along with an ethics seminar in modern journalism. Yes.
You were offended by Greg Pratt raising money from the people that he covers. That offended you. What is wrong with friends helping friends?
Yes, right. Chicago Way.
I remember the day when we could not accept anything greater in value than a cigarette lighter. And by that, they didn't mean something platinum and inscribed. That meant like a Bic cigarette lighter, which was like 99 cents. And for the Tribune to allow its reporters, well, to solicit money and benefit financially, their cause is to benefit financially from people that they cover, like Kim Fox and all those others. I guess that's why they had such a beautiful pity party for Kim Fox when they kicked it off, you know? It started
well, but I mean, but hasn't this been going on in different ways for decades? I mean,
no.
the ethics policies notwithstanding. Oh, no. I mean, Rick Pearson was on Scott Fayol's favors list. Did we forget that? Rick Pearson was on Scott Fayol's favors list.
That's right.
25 years ago.
Well, you have to tell people who Rick Pearson is because they might not know.
Rick Pearson is a transactional flack for the Combine, who has a byline at the Tribune where he pretends to be a political reporter. That's who Rick Pearson is. And he's he pretends to be a political reporter when he's not, you know, blind drunk and getting arrested for DUIs. So that's who Rick Pearson is. But I mean, 25 years ago, he was on Fayol's favors list because according to Fayol and the George Ryan team, they got his wife a job at Secretary of State's office. So I mean, maybe Fayol was assuming things not in evidence, but I don't think so. Not based on the actual work product of Rick Pearson. And frankly, you know, may he rest in peace, Steve Neal at the Sun Times. These two quote unquote political reporters back when the Tribune and the Sun Times were relevant were transactional, and everybody inside the political arena knew it.
Well, I didn't know it, and I did not know that about Steve, and I didn't know that Rick was on the favored list, and I did ask him about it. I asked him about it, and he got very upset. I don't think he's ever forgiven me for asking him about it.
Oh, he doesn't. He only asks the questions. He doesn't like to have questions asked of him. Interesting.
He took great umbrage. Great umbrage.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know?
And I don't think he ever forgave me. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, you know how this plays out with certain reporters. They have sacred cows. They have a point of view. Imagine that. And there's only a limited amount of political diversity, if I could use that word, that they'll tolerate. So Judy Bartzepinko was an acceptable Republican, and George Ryan was an acceptable Republican, but anybody, to the right of those individuals, in other words, anybody who had any actual belief system and wasn't just another Combine player with an R next to their name, well, those are people that need to be stopped and marginalized and ridiculed and demonized. And that's mainly what the Chicago Press Corps has done for the last, 25 years, as long as I've been around in this arena.
Well, a lot of that involved the big news headline maker last week was the Ahmed Ford trial. I loved your take on that, Dan. What were you calling that? The undercard to the Madigan trial?
Yeah, right. It's the appetizer. It's the palate cleanser. The thing about the Comet 4 and those convictions, and John, you came on Morning Answer to talk about it, my show, I don't have any, I think I've met John Hooker, the Comet lobbyist, once or twice. I didn't know him. I've had lunch with Jay Doherty a few times. Yeah, he's a nice enough guy. I don't know his business, but, you know, I interacted with him at the City Club back when conservatives were allowed to attend those lunches. That's a long time ago. So there's nothing personal, the premajory, and there's nothing personal there, but it wasn't that fine. If they ran afoul of the law by doing the things that everybody in Springfield does every day, but they are the ones that got caught, well, you got caught. Everybody's breaking the law. You say, well, everybody's doing it, not much of a defense. So I'm not quibbling with the jury verdict, but I am quibbling with the jury's perspective. And that juror that did the post-verdict presser from Logan Square, who's an 8 of 8 Democrat primary voter, standing up there and decrying corruption and saying how, you know, essentially they were aghast at what she learned was happening in the city, in the state, because they're inextricably linked. and that, you know, this was a message that we want things done on the up and up, and we don't want any funny business going on in state government.
We are tired of political corruption in general, and you know, we are hoping that this is a first step so that Illinois can function better.
I mean, what a either an incredibly naive or an incredibly disingenuous, and I don't really care which, representation right. of her view. First of all, that's not true. She voted for the people that have made Illinois the worst governed state in the country. And as ChatGPT informed us this week, if you could boil Illinois down to one word, what would that one word be? Corrupt. So right. so it's for to listen to people pretend that they are care about good government, that they are corruption busters. That's what's offensive to me. The electorate, well, and members of the electorate that are rock red, dyed in the wool Democrats, telling me sure. how much they could care about good government.
Sure. Before you get away from this, so that woman I know that woman. She's actually our veterinarian for our cats, and Christine used to work with her.
Are you serious?
My wife, yeah. Oh my wife over there for
you should
years.
Have Jeff on the show.
No.
Set
her up to come on my show after she does her Chicago Way podcast.
On your show, yeah.
Well, I don't know if she's up for the meat grinder that would be either show, but she is, I get your point, Dan, but that woman is probably more my naive to it than anything. And I think it's really more indicative of what you were just talking about. The idea of, you know, these heritage or whatever reporters who are or media that's tied into the fix is in. She's been living in a world that she doesn't realize that when she sits for this trial and they explain it, lay out just how blatantly obvious it is, how things are going and how run of the mill it seems. I think she's genuine in the fact that she's like, wait, what the hell is happening? Like, I've been fed this. Oh, the Democrats do great things for this state for my whole life. And I think she's as much a victim of the fix of this state and naive to what's really going on. I think she's genuine in the fact that she's blown away by how run of the mill it is.
Well, you know her, so I'll defer to your judgment.
Well, yeah.
Wait a second. I'll defer
back from Jeff Carlin wins.
I'll defer to your judgment on her naivete because I don't know her. I said naive or disingenuous. Mm-hmm. I won't on victim. Right. She's not a victim. This is somebody I'm guessing. You tell me. And I'm sure she's a lovely person and a good veterinarian. I don't really care. She considers herself a good person. She considers herself a civic minded person, right? That's why she consistently votes in Democrat primaries. She's participating. She's doing her civic duty. And you see what's going on in the city. She lives in Logan Square. You see what's going on in the city and the state.
Gloryland.
And that is willful blindness. That is not a defense to to not knowing. I'm being willfully blind. I'm pretending not to see what I have to know is happening. I have to know it. It's not like she has a cone around her head. I mean, come on.
I mean, that's vet jokes. I like it. But so the point there is being that like she's the violence, the crime, like you're saying that she's oblivious to something afoot, something foul. I mean,
but they're good people, Jeff.
My point is that there's so many people that are blind to this stuff or think that it's in their best interest or just too trusting for the people that they say, oh, I'm going to do the best for you in Springfield.
She's not 21 years old. She lived through Rob Blagojevich.
Yeah.
She lived through George Ryan. Right. She's lived through any number of city council members and state legislators going to prison. And corruption, you say? I mean, come on.
Shocked, I say. My point was really more the fact that you read the things that were happening and the verbiage and all this in the trials that came out. And it's so blatant what they're doing. That to sit there and someone be forced to watch this for days on end and be like, they were this obvious about what they're doing. Like, how is this not a thing? And then the perpetrators are like, we didn't do anything wrong. That's just how business works. I think that disconnect that people, the average person doesn't really realize how blatantly and carelessly obvious this stuff is.
You know, I would have more empathy for her ignorance if she said, you know what, I owe people an apology. What I learned in this trial is that I've been completely asleep and I haven't been paying attention the way that I should. And I haven't thought to myself, when I see these stories month after month about graft and corruption and fiscal mismanagement and the exodus from the state because people can't afford to live here. I didn't connect the dots. I didn't put the time in, and it doesn't take a lot of time, but I didn't put the time in to actually think, to actually put my old thinking cap on and say, God, what the heck is happening to this place that I call home, where I have a family and a business? And that should concern, what, something's happening, it should concern me. I'm going to put a little thinking to this. If she would have said something like that, rather than pretending that she's a good person because she just struck a blow against this, then I would have been a little bit more considerate. But this lack of accountability, I'm an innocent bystander. You know, I have no culpability here. That just is intolerable to me.
If I'm Mike Madigan's attorney, I do not let you on the jury.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people need you to apologize to you, Dan, then, the way the state's been for the last 25 years.
Exactly.
It is clear. Clear that the people who are on trial here, in my mind, are all those who believe stupidly, like fools, that if we get Mike Madigan, if Mike Madigan goes to prison, then ding dong, the witch is dead.
Right, exactly.
The cat, and everything is going to be fine.
Corruption ends in Illinois.
Right.
Right.
Meanwhile, you can't go down, walk down the street for fear of being attacked by one of the thugs let out from the jail by Kim Fox and her and company. And there is no there's civic order. Everything's collapsing. And that's okay. Let's focus on Mike Madigan, because that's what we do.
Well, and again, the combine, you know, you need boogeymen, yeah, and you need misdirection plays. And to still be talking about Madigan and Burke when they are gone. So is that like, you know, when they're gone, they are gone. So, right. So how's it going now that they're gone?
I don't think Chris Walsh can herd the cats. That's what I think.
Well, yeah, but there's so many more cats, and it doesn't matter, and there's so few, and there's no opposition, so
right,
it doesn't matter. I mean, they just roll, and you know, and you have some, you know, trust fund doofus like Pritzker follow in and paper it all over with personal money. So I mean, the Madigan and Burke made this comparison before, but it's like, It's like getting Joey the Clown Lombardo when he's 85 years old and say, you know, we've dealt a fatal blow to crime families, right, the syndicate in Chicago. Madigan, Burke, fine.
You know what the great newspapers of Chicago are really concerned about? And it's not, they're not concerned about the systemic and endemic corruption. What they're concerned about is Dan Proft has a newspaper.
Yeah, right.
The Chicago Tribune, in a searing editorial, accused when fake newspapers were propaganda masquerades as news. Are they talking about themselves and George Soros, or are they talking about Dan Proft? I guess they are.
Yeah,
I think that the Tribune, I don't know who they hate more, me or you. And I think probably you.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's Dan. Sorry, Dan.
Well, that's all right. I'll push on in spite of that. So, you know, we talked about this before, too, last year during the election. So the challenge to the Tribune or any of these other legacy outlets that don't like the papers with which I'm affiliated is, all right, well, just point to stories. Since we have all the stories, you have all the copies, just point to stories and say, what is inaccurate? What is without foundation? What facts do we have wrong? It's always the sort of wraparound smear, or wrap-up smear, I guess is the terminology. That's the Nancy Pelosi like that, where you you get a newspaper to write something, you know, do an oppo drop, you get something to write something on a political opponent, and then you merchandise it, then you pick it up and say, look what the Chicago Tribune reported, the wrap-up smear.
Right.
And that's what this is. It's just generic. It's just name-calling. But this is what the left does with everything. You're right-wing extremists. Which positions of mine are extreme? Oh, I don't want to litigate individual positions. You're just a right-wing extremist. Which stories were inaccurate? Oh, I don't want to discuss specific stories. You're just a propagandist. When we had David Griesing on the show on Morning Answer after he wrote this op-ed in the Tribune foolishly
came up on your show.
Yeah.
Against my better. I would have said, David, you're not ready for this. Don't fight Apollo Creed. You're not ready for this.
Well, I mean, he knew nothing. He didn't have any, and his entire column was just invective and name calling in my direction, the direction of the newspapers, political propaganda. Sucking up, right? Yeah,
sucking up to the editorial board.
But then he didn't have any specifics, and he didn't even realize how long the papers had been around. He didn't even realize there had been print editions well before the 2022 campaign. I mean, it doesn't matter that they don't know anything because. They're just in the business of being smear merchants for their political allies. That's what they do. And this just comes across over and over again. And I mean, to get demoralizing, especially from the NPR Times there that used to be the AFL-CIO Times. I mean, it's really something to behold. They're above the fray. They have no particular point of views. They have no trappings with institutional interests. I mean, come on. So that's just what they're going to continue to say as they continue to lose market share. I think they see the papers that since they don't do local news, they see the papers as a threat. They think that they see transparency in terms of point of view as a threat because they're not. And, their model is dying, and there are new models that are emerging to replace them.
We had Tom Bevin on the last podcast talking about the pity party that they're holding for themselves in the American media.
Yeah.
And it's obvious when you read something like from the New York Times, Maureen Dowd's dirge about newsrooms and how they were once so romantic and they're now no one's in them. And I just felt it was like embarrassing to read it when she doesn't mention once any kind of one reference to credibility issues, not one reference to suppressing Hunter Biden's story, not one reference to the FBI and collusion, nothing. And I thought, my God, this is how far they've fallen. They can't even acknowledge what they've done. And they're done. It's toast. I don't see a way back.
It's going back to comparison it to Jeff's veterinarian friend. I mean, it's just they're so self-referential. They can't believe they're in this place.
Yeah, because they're worthy.
So, Dan, speaking of education in the political system of Illinois, what's this thing you posted? It was April 30th about the township AP calculus in Evanston Township High School. And then I believe there's been some developments since then. What is this?
Yeah. So Evanston Township High School, the Wildcats, not cats, kids.
Right.
They in their course offerings, this is from their school's website, happened upon their course offerings, AP calculus. And there were two, sections of AP calculus. One was restricted to students who identify as Black, and another was restricted to students who identify as Latinx, which would be zero because even Latinos don't identify as Latinx. But anyway, so the point is to say that you have neo-segregation going on. And that was the charge I made. I'm just using their language from their course descriptions. And so Mark Perry, who's a econ professor emeritus at the University of Michigan and now sort of like a full-time Title IX and Title VI watchdog. He saw the tweet. He picked it up. He sent a letter to the Office of Civil Rights, filed a complaint essentially, the Office of Civil Rights Department of Justice saying these are clear violations of Title IX and Title VI with respect to race and gender discrimination. And he actually looked deeper into the catalog and found three more instances on the gender front. So we started to talk about this and the implications, and frankly, we shouldn't be surprised because We covered a story in 2021 where a black mom in Atlanta had to sue the school district to stop the segregation of grade school kids by race. There were literally two grade school classes for black students only and six grade school classes for whites only. And she was like, what are we doing here? She went to the principal and the principal said, yeah, this is what we're doing. I think this is the best learning environment for these kids. So, I mean, you had an Atlanta grade school principal essentially overturn Brown v. Board of Education by herself. This is what's happening in K-12 education. And I don't think people realize. Wow. So anyway, back to Evanston. So this gets a lot of traction online and, you know, people a lot more important than me pick it up, and Mark Perry files this complaint with the Office of Civil Rights. So then the next day, without any announcement or explanation, they changed the language in the course offerings, Evanston Township High School does, where it's now it's not any student can take this AP calculus section, can join this AP calculus section, but there'll be special resources for students who identify as black. Any student can take this AP calculus Latinx section, but there'll be special resources for Latinx students.
What, like help with the test? What?
Yeah. Well, here's the verbiage. While open to all students, this optional section of the course is intended to support students who identify as black.
Right. Right.
Well, what is that about?
Actually, there was an interview that the Daily Northwestern, of all outlets, my former nemesis when I was at Northwestern, where the representatives from the school talked about what they were going to do to close the gap in terms of AP calculus classes being taken and test scores from those classes between black, white, Latino, et cetera. And they said specifically, well, in these classes, we're going to talk about microaggressions. We're going to talk about the systemic hurdles that students of color face in terms of success doing, having success with AP classes. So it was, so that's the mindset, and then special help and so on and so forth. What it may ultimately mean is goosing the test scores. That's a theory, but that's what it may ultimately mean. Because obviously you're not going to say that out loud. But that's what I think they're getting to, one way or the other.
You're absolutely right. I mean that's the way it would. Only thing that would make sense here, because you're trying to get the kids to pass the test by taking time in class away from learning how to pass the test, to learn about why they may not pass the test. Is that's the logic loophole we're supposed to jump through?
Well, here's the thing. We got an email at my radio show from a teacher who teaches AP calculus at a school in the Southwest Burbs. And she was saying, like, so as colleges move away from SAT, ACT, which she's not necessarily opposed to, actually, one of the indicator courses that they're using for admission is AP calculus.
Right.
And so now if AP calculus is turning out to, it's going to more and more become a de facto SAT, sort of a gatekeeper exam, threshold clearing exam, then now you see the race hustlers, the identitarians focusing on AP calculus, and we're going to have to get our scores up for students of color in AP calculus in order for them to get into colleges. And so we need all hands on deck to figure out how to close the, I mean, and this is just the numbers. I'm not making commentary. This is the numbers to close a gap that exists with respect to students taking and the performance by the students who take those courses. So I think that's what's going on. But just one other point on what they did. So, I had a conversation with Mark Perry, who filed a complaint. He's like, well, they're still in violation of Title VI. Because you said, well, we're going to provide anybody, the section is optional, it's open to anybody, but we're going to do this for black students. The section is optional, but we're going to do this for Latinos. Well, then you have to, that's still discriminatory. Then you have to have separate sections say it's open to anyone, but we're going to provide special resources to whites and special resources to Inuit Eskimos and special resources to every thing under the sun when you start counting and providing benefits or disparate treatment by race.
Did they ever think about providing special resources to kids of Indian or Chinese extraction? No.
Well right.
Those are the kids that they attack on the street.
Well, yeah, and discriminated against in college admissions.
Yeah.
So they didn't really cure it. I mean, you know, the Office of Civil Rights.
Oh, my gosh. Not even close.
Yeah, right. But so how that complaint would ultimately play out. But the point is, the larger point is that literally de facto segregation is the logical end game of this absurdity of identitarianism. And this is just another expression of it. People are surprised, but they shouldn't be.
For people who don't know, I mean, Evanston's is just north of Chicago, very affluent in parts, and you know, is overall a wealthy township, and also I think the first city in the nation to start paying
reparations
for people who were housing, killed by housing, redlining, apparently.
Housing grants, yeah, right. Yeah, they still fly the hammer and sickle in Evanston. Yeah.
Well, that leads into Heather McDonald's new book about race and merit, doesn't it?
Well, right. I mean, so meritocracy is, for people who haven't been attuned to this, meritocracy is something that is under assault because it is a vestige of white supremacy, so say the identitarians. And you're going to hear this more and more and more and more explicitly from in Chicago, because that is the perspective of BLM Brandon Johnson and the Chicago Teachers Union. And so one of the ways this will express itself, I'm guessing, is they're going to gut magnet schools. They're going to gut, you know, any the schools that have admissions policies. So Walter Payton, for whatever you think Payton is now, it's not going to be the same after Brandon Johnson, the teachers union, gets away with it. They don't like magnet schools. They don't like charter schools, and they don't like school choice. So expect all of those things to take a hammering, including, I would argue, the end of the school choice program, the opportunity scholarship program in Illinois, which has more than 10,000 beneficiaries at this point. They are coming for that. I don't care what anybody else says. I know they are. And, this, you know, anything that provides competition to their central control is something that they will undermine, whether, you know, it's a frontal assault or a backdoor one, but that's what's coming.
But Dan and Jeff, the people allowed this. They understood. If they didn't understand, they should have. They're sentient beings, or they pretend to be. They voted for this Bolshevik fool named Brandon Johnson, a functionary of Tony Preckwinkle, basically a puppet and a leftist puppet at that. They should have known, and they didn't.
Rich Honkies who send their kids to magnet schools are going to find out the hard way, because those days are coming to, there's going to be a new reality. I'll say that. And I love what's happening here too. For all these identitarians prattle on about racial equity, and you have rich white honkies like Kathy Griffin, the head of the Illinois Education Association, telling black moms they can't send their kids to private school. Tell me more about race equity. Where does Jelly Belly Pritzker send his kids? Where do they go to high school? Where did Don Harmon, the Senate president, send his kids? Oh, Ignatius. Where did Chris Welch, the House Speaker, send his kids? Oh, Timothy Christian. But hey, a black mom in Hyde Park, a Latino family in Little Village. No private school for you. You don't get private school. You get what we give you. Tell me more about race equity.
There it is, Dan Proft. I love it, Dan.
Dan, that's why Dan should be
Tucker Carlson.
Not the new Tucker Carlson, the new Dan Proft.
Well, replaced. Look,
right. He has the intellectual heft. Others don't have it. They might be very nice people, but they just don't have that heft. You don't see it anywhere in broadcast. I mean, look at our old stomping grounds of WLS, for example. That used to be a conservative station. Dan was there, Jeff was there, I was there. I don't know what it is now. It's sort of like a pantomime for fools who think about becoming conservatives but really don't have the guts to do it. I don't know what they're about. So I think, Dan, you should embrace this step boldly into the light and become the new Tucker Carlson?
Well, I'd be honored. It'd be fun. Then I wouldn't have to go to Jim Durkin's garage sale. I could buy new stuff. You know, if I got the Tucker Carlson gig. Yeah.
Buy your own leather chair. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That'd be nice.
Well, bow tie is not included. All right, Dan. Well, thanks. Where can people find you if they want to follow you? What's your handle on the old Twitter these days?
At Dan Proft on Twitter, and Chicago's Morning Answer, morninganswerchicago.com. It's where you can track me down.
You can listen to Dan on the Chicago Morning Answer, or you can listen to him if you got the app. You can listen to the podcast without the commercials. Which do you prefer? I think the commercials, right?
Who, me?
Yes, you, Dan.
I don't listen to the show. I just do it.
Right. Oh, you don't go back.
Which do I prefer you listen to?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't. You know, hey, whatever's, hey, you know, float your own boat, whatever is convenient. I know a lot of people like the podcast, sans commercials. I know our advertisers like the full 4-hour show with commercials, but, you know, for obvious reasons. But we've got them embedded elsewhere in the online, so whatever makes it easy.
If I knew anybody at the Tribune now, I'd maybe suggest you write a column there, but I really don't want. I mean, they're giving their product away six months for a dollar. That's nothing.
6 months for a dollar?
Yeah.
Boy.
They can't.
They're going to have. Yeah, that's an interesting volume play. I don't think it's going to work. I mean,
the best decision you can't give it away.
The content. I mean, yeah. You know this, John, yeah. Since you're a content creator, yeah. Is that, you know, you can't get around terrible content. I mean, you can give it away for free. You can try to force me to read it. You can't make it work in terms of a business model. It's just terrible content.
Well, sometimes some people can't even get their contact out. Your content sent out. For example, Glenn Lowry, his podcast has been shut down, hasn't it, on YouTube, correct? I mean, that's...
Glenn Lowry's podcast got shut down? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
No, I hope not. The one he does, where he's got McWhorter on all the time with him?
I'm just
like... Well, maybe he said something, you know, like meritocracy is or merit-based grading or something is good, and YouTube put him in the penalty box for 2 weeks or something. But no, I mean, this is the right. You got to build your own castles. We got to build more and more people got to build their own castles out there, like johncastnews.com.
The best decision I ever made, best financial decision I ever made in my life. And one thing now, can I ask you something personal thing, Dan and Jeff? You know, I've been out for several months now since January with the stroke and the heart issue. But I want to get back in the saddle. And people say, don't push it. Your therapy's going well. But I just have to, I don't know. I don't see how I can keep going without providing people fresh content from me, because that's what they're paying for. I don't know. I got to do it.
I think go at your own pace. I know you're getting to the other side of it and things are improving, but people want John Cass content, but they also want John Cass kicking. So, you know, you got to balance the two.
Yeah, I guess I'll choose between getting a deadline or being alive. Okay.
Yeah.
I say at the end of the day, I'd choose alive over the deadline. That would be my advice.
Dead men don't produce content, John.
There you go. Yeah. Dead men will only wear plaid, as we know.
Right.
All right. Dan, thanks so much for being here again. And thanks for having me on your
John.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, sir.
John and Jeff, thank you so much. Always great talking to you guys.
So what golf course now? Are you going to a golf course?
Yeah, it's quite a quiet locker room you're in.
Yeah. You caught me at a rare moment where I'm not at a golf club, but
spin class.
That will be remedied this weekend. Yeah. No, I got to go to Pilates. I got to get back to Pilates. John, you should do Pilates. Yeah,
I want you to get back to fishing, because I got a buddy, and you know him, living in Naples.
Yeah.
Steve, the
pilot. Waiting for you to come down so we can do some fly fishing in Marco.
Wow. That'd be something. As long as I can do it from a boat, I don't have to walk. Maybe I'll do it.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
You can arrange that.
Thanks,
all right.
Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Take care, guys. Bye.
or Dan Proft, extraordinary. Perhaps the best replacement for Tucker Carlson, yes? I agree. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, my friend and master of cats, future physics teacher. And for me, John Cass, editor-in-chief of your favorite website, johncassnews.com, where you can get some real common sense about the news in the city and the region and the country, and it's not woke. Thanks for joining us on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.